Niggas act, love to see niggas make them plays and shoot the shit. But there's one thing about niggas I do not love. Niggas are scared of revolution.
Yo, you believe when they say we ain't shit, we can't grow. All we are is dope dealers and gangsters and hoes. And you believe when they be telling you lies. All on the media, they make the world look crazy to keep you inside. Why you listen when the teachers at school know you a young single parent out struggling? They think you a fool. Give your kids bad grades and put them in dumber classes. Killing short of future, I wonder how do we last it? Underground in they casket, ancestors turning. I'm learning something every day, there is no Lazarus. Words like God is Greek or Latin. So if you study Egypt, you'll see the truth written by the masters. My niggas is chilling, getting high, relaxing, envisioning ownership. Yeah, we can happen. What if we own? Not enough land, not enough homes, not enough banks to give my brother a loan. What if we own? The skin on our backs, we rent and we ask for reparations. Then they hit us with tax and insurance if we live to be old. What about now? So stop being controlled. We black zombies.
Smoking, talking, dead. So we think we're living.
Black zombies.
We just copycat, following the system.
Black zombies.
Walking, talking, dead. So we think we're living.
Black zombies.
We just copycat, following the system.
Black zombies. Hey yo, we trapped in our own brain. Fuck behind bars. We've already gone insane. They've already gave up. Cut our own heads off. Stab our own backs and dream too much without fulfilling reality. Too greedy and can't have one or two chains, we need three of them. Can't have one or two guns without squeezing them on our own people. And fuck black leaders, cause whites ain't got none leading them. The rhythm is cosmic, Nas is divinity, the deity's prophet. Let's all get down and get up. Victims walk around with Down syndrome, all stuck, fainting, shouting, catching Holy Ghost in church. Scared to do it for ourselves, lest we see somebody doing it first. We beg, we pray, petition, and demonstrate it, just to make another generation
black zombies. Walking, talking, dead. So we think we're living.
Black zombies.
We just copycat, following the system.
Black zombies.
Walking, talking, dead. So we think we're living.
Black zombies.
We just copycat, following the system.
Black zombies. Scared to be yourself, cause you in a trance. Feel free, hear the music and dance. If you care what they think, why wear what they wear, just for you. Dumb niggas with long beards like the Arabs and Jews are from Israel. Bismillah, El-Rahman, El-Rahim. Islam's a beautiful thing. A Christian and Rastafari helps us to bring peace against the darkness, which is ungodly. So what's the black man's true religion? Who should we follow? Use your own intuition. You are tomorrow. That's the sound of the beast. I'm a Columbia record slave, so get paid. Control your own destiny, you are a genius. So let it happen to you like it did to me.
Black
I was
zombies.
Black zombies.
Walking, talking, dead. So we think we're living.
Black zombies.
We just copycat, following the system.
Black zombies.
Walking, talking, dead. So we think we're living.
Black zombies.
We just copycat, following the system.
Black zombies. Wake up, black zombies in a spell for more than 400 years. Ghetto niggas won't have it no more. Can I get a witness? While listening to somebody else tell you how to do it, when you can do it yourself, it's all in you. Do it. Do it. Do it, niggas.
Man, I hope you got that message. My name is Kamau Kalfani. You're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI. And I guess we can take a break and open up the phone lines. I don't know. I got to get a fire extinguisher up in here because it's like smoking. All right. who do we have on the line?
Yeah, this is Jeff.
Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. Now, Jeff, give me an honest opinion. Did you enjoy my little musical twist?
Oh, man, I loved it because a lot of that stuff that you were playing, I haven't heard it in a long time.
You know what's interesting? When you look at the lay of the land as far as rap / hip-hop today, there I think are some variations and components that were missing, you know, when we were out there rocking hard. And I think it has to do with the contextual message, but the continuity of the music and the music being able to form a syncopated message, which had this like invisible text, so to speak, and you could have these multiple dialogues within the rhythm, but they were always syncopated. Everything clicked at the same time. Now I hear some things that you know, we would have labeled as corny or incompetent. You know.
Interesting. Yeah.
And it's very interesting. But I had to throw that last piece in there by Nas because, I mean, I think we got enough of the N-word, but I also think that, you know, what he was saying was so intense. By the way, I'm going to let some other people in while we're talking. But I think you were asking. Oops.
No, I'm still here.
No, somebody else wasn't there. I went to let them in and they left. Impatient. But you were asking me a question about an individual, Dr. York.
Yes.
Okay, that person is back. Let me let him in. Welcome to the Learning Tree. Let me just answer his question and you can chime in.
Okay.
He was asking me if I heard of a brother by the name of Dr. York. And yes, I have. And if I'm not mistaken, he was dealing with the Moors, the contemporary Moor movement. And in fact, he had a place down in, I think it was Georgia. I might be wrong, but...
Yeah, that's right.
But next to his place, or in the proximity, Wesley Snipes was actually going to open a bodyguard school. And
I did hear that.
You know, there is some tension when black folks start picking up guns and doing karate and all that kind of stuff. It's usually a heightened state of awareness that occurs. So they came down on Wesley Snipes like the abominable snowman. And Wesley said, because I don't know if y'all know, Wesley Snipes is a student, or formerly was a student of Dr. John Henry Clark. Very close, in fact. He produced the film and is, in fact, producing a series of films dealing with the biography. I think they're working on Dr. Benz right now.
That's good to hear.
And you know, his company, I think it's Amon Ra Productions, they're doing a series of scholars, and that one was done by the St. Clair, Claiborne, I'm sorry, I'm getting the name mixed up. But anyway, so Dr. York, while I did not participate in the Moorish movement, I knew a number of people who were. And Dr. York actually, if I'm not mistaken, was accused of some dastardly crime dealing with some underage individuals. And I say that you have to put that in context, historical context, because the history of black people in this country has authorities constantly after them. You know, like on the plantation, looking for the slave that is rebellious, doesn't go with the program, or has the potential to lead. That's a problem. And when you look at the history of movements in this country and what has happened, the infiltration, the setting up, the raw setting up of people, you
and
have to
and
really...
And what is starting to happen again?
Starting? It never broke.
It may be the wrong word. But.
Yeah. And so on one side, you have to put it in that context. Mm-hmm. On the other side, it's a difficult thing just to say, I know that guy ain't do it. You know, we may want to romanticize the possibility that that person didn't do it, but you can't really say. So you get this atmosphere that is a catch-22, and it's a very dangerous atmosphere because when you're in that atmosphere, those who are trying to get you to freeze accomplish their mission.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm finished.
Oh, that's it.
Well, now.
Thank you.
All right, bro.
Yeah, well, you do why I called. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just get this out. I do want to mention that on Friday, I'm also going to be letting I'm going to be letting some other people in while we're talking. I also want to mention on Friday, December 27th is the anniversary of my birth, and I will, in fact, be throwing a party, as I've mentioned the last couple of weeks, on the airwaves in Paterson, New Jersey, at 240 Broadway. Public transportation does go there from New York. The 171 bus goes from the GW Bridge. You can get the A train up to the GW bus terminal. The 171 goes there, and it literally, your landmark is a White Castle. As soon as you get to the White Castle, you get off the bus right there and just look to your left, and the place is right there. We start at 7 o'clock. If you're driving, you can email me at Dred Scott Press, the number 1, at AOL.com. That's DredScottPress, the numeral 1, at AOL.com. Email me, and I'll email you back with complete directions, or you can call 973-247-9108. 973-247-9108 or 732-829-8157.
What's that date again?
Friday, the 27th of December. It is free. You just need to bring a dish. And there's a lot of people from BAI coming. You have Bernard White, Randy Credico, Kathy Davis, some behind-the-scenes people, Brother Bokeem is coming, Linda Duggins is coming. This is a good portion of people are coming from BAI. Not to mention, we have a wonderful singer. And if I'm going to try not to mess her name up. But anyway, her last name is Miss Cumberbatch. And this sister, let me tell you, if you ain't in love when you get there, you will be by the time you leave. Girlfriend can sing. It's going to be a beautiful night. Bring a dish and come out and enjoy yourself. All right, that was the end of my announcement. I'll do it a little later on. Brother, you were calling because.
Okay, a couple things I wanted to mention. One was as far as some of the music you played. I mean, some of the things you played earlier, and particularly regarding the last port piece.
Uh-huh.
I called in last week a little late, but we were talking about how lyrics are changing somewhat, and we're getting back into more positive rap. And we were discussing how that is very much necessary right now.
Without a doubt.
And another thing I want to touch on was how they're haranguing Brother Baraka. Seems like almost every day in the paper there's another piece and somebody.
Well, you know, obviously I cannot speak for Amiri Baraka. But on behalf of Amiri Baraka, I would like to tell all of those critics to go to hell for a very simple reason. First of all, this country is supposed to be predicated on the issue of free speech, which we know is a lie and then a joke, but the premise is there. So you can at least wave that in their face, because I concur with
Well, there's something else we can wave in their face. I mean, every time you turn around, if you say anything that may be slightly construed as against the Jewish, you're anti-Semitic. Well, however, look at during apartheid, when most of the industrial nations had sanctions against South Africa, the Jews were getting gold and diamonds out of their hand over fist.
Wait, let me.
And no one ever said anything or apologized about that.
Let me put this in perspective. Here's my moment of controversy. And I say it's controversy because I'm going to say this with straight no chaser.
Okay.
You know. In many quarters, the Jewish community is the spoiled brat of America, right? Because they have been allowed, for whatever reason, to walk with free rein. And the standard was not... The amount of money that Israel receives is criminal, not negative, not bad. It is criminal because you can proportionately look at black countries, dark-skinned countries around the world, and this racist government, these tobacco-chewing, pointy-toe-wearing, redneck cowboy dug they behind up out the ground races. I did have another word, but I'll forego that.
That's enough for now.
Because here's my point. I don't know why people have such debates. I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, how much proof do you need that this country's unofficial policy is kill the black man? I don't have to debate that issue. When you look at Jesse Helms, that's why I couldn't understand all this debate about Trent Lott.
Yeah.
The guy is an avowed racist. They have systematized their process. And the only trouble I see with it is that people on the other side of the fence have not taken it to them in equal stead. You know, some of the leg-scraping, begging crap that a lot of the so-called black leadership goes through is sickening to me very often. Instead of, first of all, look at several groups that do not articulate their woe, they get even. How do they get even? They raise in the economic arena. They buy, they purchase, they wield power. They don't come out and tell the world every time they get ready to do something. That's not their style. But what I find very interesting is the plantation mentality that has been spread and nurtured and deeply rooted in the black community constantly has us scraping, begging, has us going and saying, Massa, is it okay we have a revolution?
Apologizing.
Is it okay we have a revolution on Monday? No, Massa, that's not a good time for you. What's a good time for you, Massa? I mean, that's ridiculous. And yet, the concentrated income of black America rivals that of countries, and yet the bioelectronic responsive mechanisms that make us not like each other because we coughed the wrong way or our shoe size was wrong will prevent us from putting those fiscal resources together long enough to effect a change.
Yeah, there's not enough history known about the success we have had in the past. Like the communities that were burnt down by, can't call them any more than jealous white folks, that have yet to grow to that level again.
But you know what I'm also interested in is I'm interested in, this is a perfect time to raise this. By the way, welcome to BAI.
Thank you.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. How come you spew this racism, this anti-Jewish racism on this station?
Whoa.
Hold it. Let me let you talk.
Excuse me. Let me let you talk.
All right, go ahead.
Because we're going to have a dialogue. I don't want anybody running up here, hitting and running.
I know. Yeah, okay. It inspires me to call. Maybe you do it for audience. I was just walking around late at night.
No.
But
I mean, I'm not a shock job, you know. And here's my point. First of all, I think that there is such a level of naivete running through the non-black sectors of this country. It's phenomenal to me.
But deal with what you say.
That's alluding to the Jews are the spoiled.
I don't remember what I'm saying. But why make it divisive?
Answer this question. Is there anything that you heard so far that wasn't true?
Yes, that's why. Can you substantiate that? Can you back that up with something?
All right, hold on.
What do you mean by that?
Hold on. Let us make sure we are able to speak and hear each other.
Okay. All right.
First of all, walaikum assalam, brother. Just hold on 1 second. Let me answer this question. First of all, if you go back and let's look at track records, let's not deal in fables or conjecture. Let's go back and look at the fiscal trail that has been left between Israel and people who live here in the United States who migrated to Israel, and the relationship of this country's fiscal posture to the state of Israel. That's one thing. The second thing is, let's look at individuals who are living here in this country, whether that be the Hasidim or various other groups.
You make it a black Jew thing.
No.
I mean, it's so easy for a victim who blacks are, have been victims.
By the way, I'm sorry. I was trying to let somebody else in. Go ahead.
Why do you want to victimize somebody else? I mean, if you've lived as a victim, you should certainly know what it feels like to be singled out and victimized. And you're just doing the same thing that was done to, you know, you as a collective people. Instead of, seeing what commonality there is, you're just picking something that just divides. It incites and divides people.
No, I beg to differ.
And you're just talking in generalities.
Let me let you finish. Are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I beg to differ, and I really have to edify the question that this other brother asked. And here that question was, did I say anything that was not true? Before you jump in, let me say this. Now, you're saying that I'm inciting people, et cetera, et cetera. That may well be a byproduct of what I said. That's possible, right? But here's the problem. If I go to a podium and I articulate, as you say, as a victim, if I articulate some of the things that were done to me, I assure you, it's going to incite plenty of people. And you know what they're going to say? Why are you bringing that up? We're moving along so nicely. No, the truth is, well, that we are not moving along. You may be moving along nicely. And I think that at this juncture,
you know what I could say?
You got to let me finish,
right,
man, because I didn't interrupt you.
Go ahead.
At this juncture, I think what is really necessary is some dialogue in earnest, because I think that people stand in their little corners and they give their version of things. But if you're really talking about peace and understanding and harmony and respect, then that has to be mutually agreed on and reached across the board.
Well, that's between people. But even with the Amiri Baraka poem, like I read that poem, and I didn't think it was anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic.
Right.
He was just citing what was reported in the news.
Right.
You know, I thought, and I thought it was a good poem.
Right.
But there were a few. Excuse me, but there were a lot of Jewish people who thought that it was anti-Semitic.
Right.
So it reaches a level of no dialogue, just charges being thrown back and forth.
Right, but now here's my question. Where is the responsibility for the breakdown of the dialogue if on one side there's a mere articulation of something and on the other side it's received as an attack? And when that modality...
it's a Jewish thing. You know, you guys got a black thing.
Yeah, but you see the way that you keep interrupting me when I'm speaking? And I intentionally try not to interrupt you. That is the first cog in the wheel that we have to deal with, right? Because the second cog is self-determination. I possess and reserve the right to speak for myself. It doesn't guarantee that the rest of the world is going to agree with me, but the rest of the world should give me the right to speak for myself and identify myself as I see fit.
But BAI has become a platform for this. I mean, you know, it's just, it's not it doesn't dignify the station.
All right,
does not dignify.
Let me let one of these other guys jump in, and we'll come back to that point, okay?
Well, you know, you seem to be an intelligent young man, but how many people out there who are narrow by the Trent lots, what's his name?
Jesse Helm.
What's this one up there that was headed up Heritage Foundation?
Charles Thompson. Has, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, well, anyway, those are sophisticated, educated races. Those are the ones with the Brooke Brothers suits and the Samson Lane briefcases. They don't have to wear robes and hoods.
But right, but why make it a black Jewish? Is this
my
No. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
And what it is, though,
and maybe it's just like, you
and
know,
what it is, there are a certain group of people that want to cause confusion.
Mm-hmm.
That will never. I'd rather have somebody like a Trent Lott, so at least I know where he stands. Don't shake my hand in the morning and then put on the robe and hood at night and burn the cross on my lawn.
Yeah, but
then wake up the next morning talking about what happened.
But let me say something else about this, too. Because now this guy is saying don't make it a black Jewish. I didn't make it a black Jewish thing. I think there was a whole bunch of people before me that did. But I was trying to make the point that I don't have to run and hide on the issue of raising an issue.
Well, why call names? Why say the Jews are the spoiled?
That may not be your reality, but that is certainly our reality.
But excuse me, you know, you made a statement about BAI becoming a certain platform.
It's a platform, yes,
for the voice for the voiceless.
No, it's a racist platform.
Wait a minute. We as a people have
wait one at a time, please.
We other people have legitimate beef. You know, in the white community, the famous thing that is always quoted, well, slavery was a long time, get over it. You know, we have got over a lot of things, but then there's always something new tomorrow.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I agree with what you're saying about that. I agree with. But I'm telling you guys, you're going to turn off a lot of people, and you certainly turned me off to BAI. Like,
one,
I don't sponsor the station anymore.
Let me ask you a question.
It's not dialogue.
Excuse me, brother, can you hold up 1 second? Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Now, according to you, this is a racist platform being created, and as a byproduct, I think that you're insinuating that I'm coming from a racist perspective. But
listening to your words.
Right. I would ask you to empathize for a moment and change places with me, which is virtually impossible to do.
Right.
But that is the presumption that occurs constantly when other people are attempting to explain my position.
Do you think
to
Jews
me.
Made your life miserable?
I think there was
a conspiracy amongst Jews to make your life miserable.
No,
because there's only like 13 million in a world of 6 billion.
Do you want me to answer that question?
Yeah, sure.
I think, now I don't make a differentiation between Jewish people, Anglo-Americans, you know, I mean,
but
I look
you did.
Over,
you just
I,
did.
I, look, look. No,
and that's what prompted me to call.
No, you see, it's really irritating me, the fact that my mother raised me in a certain way. When we get into a conversation, if you start talking, I stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But you're not stopping. All right, why don't you just say what you got to say?
But you are taking...
Something?
No, let me finish this. You're taking a posture, and I'm saying the very posture that you are taking is edifying the point that I was making.
What, you're saying I'm spoiled?
But you... It's
you don't even know that I'm Jewish.
It is called...
So you're making it a racist conversation.
Yeah, but you see, you still haven't stopped for 30 seconds to let me answer half a question. Here's my point. It is called white skin privilege.
Amen.
You see, you can hide
again,
here.
More racism.
You
more
can
racism.
Hide here, and you call it racism. I call it reality.
White skin privilege.
Right? Exactly. Because the things
you know,
that I go
you're,
through...
You're,
on
just, a, you're just trapped in your own ideas.
No.
And well, I would suggest that you... I mean, listen to the tape and listen... listen to what it's
well,
saying.
Well, there's about... Look,
and listen
I'm not
to what you sound
I'm
like.
Not confused. I don't have to do the double check.
No,
it
you're
is,
convinced.
It is,
you're
in fact,
confused.
It is, in fact, you are articulating the naivete that I have suggested that most of white America, regardless of their ethnic or religious persuasion, goes through, and when a black man doesn't scrape and hem and haw, when he stands up and says, let's have this dialogue, let's have this dialogue, what usually happens is the white folks get offense, they get offended, they get irritated, they don't want to hear it, they shut down, they go away, and we don't have a dialogue.
Not black, white. You're talking about Jews specifically.
Okay, let this guy
say that. Excuse me a minute.
Okay, when I first came on, and I believe this is part of what you were listening to. When I first came on, I made two points. One was about Amir Baraka,
yeah,
and how that's in the paper almost every day now, and you even yourself said that it was taken too far, right?
I think, but there are people who are very sensitive.
I understand that. But I'm saying, I'm just talking about your viewpoint. Wait a minute. I'm just talking about your viewpoint, okay? Because that's all I'm doing is giving mine.
Okay.
After that, I mentioned about the history of the Israelis and their dealings with South Africa.
But you're not talking about Israel. There's
a
difference between Israel and Jews.
Okay, we're not going to get that deep yet.
You see, this again...
Let's talk about... I was just merely saying that, okay, the Jews got the diamonds and the gold out of South Africa when most of the industrialized world had sanctions down there, right? That's how the conversation began.
Because I heard you say that.
Okay, now, when we were discussing that, you came in.
Okay.
Now, I saw nothing at all that stated that all Jews are racist or anything to that nature. But you keep bringing up a racial divide and spreading this and spreading that, when that's not what we're doing. We're having a dialogue.
Okay.
Now, we accept your opinion and all of that.
All right.
But there's no need for you to, I don't like VAI anymore, and I'm not going to support them. You know that?
Well, no, it's true. It's true. And you got to hear how it's coming across. I know you guys are sitting around having a conversation, or I don't know if you're a caller or not. I'm not sure. But
yeah,
you got to hear the way it comes out over the air. And it's a constant litany on WBAI. And maybe there's not a voice for it someplace
else. Well, you have a phone.
Maybe
you can call in and give your opinion.
Yeah.
See, rather than exclude conversation, now, this is my school of thought. If we get into a conversation and like you called up and said, hey, this is such a... Rather than going to an exclusionary posture, I'm like, look, if we got philosophies, then let's bring them all into the room.
Amen.
And let's have the dialogue and may the stronger philosophy prevail.
Right.
I'd rather do that than go the other route. That's why I said at the beginning, the premise of free speech is supposed to be here. But the truth of the matter is, by the time... And now, did you hear what I said about black leadership?
Yes, I did. I did hear what you say about,
right,
you about black leadership, but I'm not calling up about that because I'm not a black man, and I think
that's part of the problem.
No, but I think that's your issue. That's your issue.
Oh,
I'm calling up about an
issue
that's sensitive to me.
It's not a human issue.
All right. I think this horse is about to be dead. I see the lines are really lit up. Let me thank everybody for this week.
Get some other call. I'd be anxious to hear what other people
say. Okay. All right. Thank you for your call.
Well, you know, it's not a human. It's just our. It's not a human issue.
All right. Bro, let me release this group and let some other people in, okay?
All right. Happy Kwanzaa.
Nice talking.
All right. Thank you. Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah. Happy Hanukkah.
All right. All right, let me let some more people in. By the way, you're listening to 99.5 WBAI in New York, and we're going to...
Oh,
my God. Wait a minute. I got to... Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I was going to let as many people in as possible, okay?
Hello.
Okay. Wait a minute. I just lost one. Sorry. I'm sorry about that.
I'm right here.
Oh, there you are. Oh, the light went out. Okay. We got four folks. One, two, three. Here we go. Let me see.
Okay. I just have something brief to say.
But wait a minute. The other young lady.
Hello.
Yeah, you were about to say something?
Well, I just thought it was an interesting exchange, and I really appreciate the exchange occurring.
Because,
you know, I really object to when people say, well, there shouldn't be this kind of dialogue on WBAI.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, the whole, people have their different philosophies, bring them to the table, and
right.
may the best philosophy
right.
prevail. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
But with regard to what you were saying, I was listening to the conversation.
Right.
I didn't hear any sort of attack on, as a matter of fact, the person who was objecting, I heard him constantly saying
right.
it was a black and Jew thing.
Right.
Now, this man doesn't know who the heck is talking.
And you know what's...
He's assuming that everybody else other than him...
But you know what's interesting about that? And when I raised the issue of white skin privilege,
yeah.
I know I'm pushing buttons, right?
Yes.
But as I said to him, this is our reality, what
yes.
we must deal with on a day-to-day basis.
It may not be an issue for him.
Right, and the naivete that I was pointing out, and I know that these are stinging words
mm-hmm.
for people to hear, but I think it's about time that we opened up our mouths and had the integrity
mm-hmm.
to say them. The same way, and I'm not trying to be funny, but if you say Jewish, lights go off and people,
mm-hmm.
whoop, they're right there and there's a defense posture.
Sure.
And I'm saying to people, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But don't make it such a action
mm-hmm.
that there really is no validity to it, that is simply
exactly.
a reaction. And now it's like a buzzword. All you have to
mm-hmm.
do is stand on the corner and say,
just say
Jewish.
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything else. Just say Jewish. And boom! You're automatically, you're anti-Semite, you're
exactly.
this...
Exactly. This man
yeah.
was talking about the gold and diamonds in South Africa and what was the reality of that time.
Thank you for that word, reality. But let some... Go,
yes.
Stay there, but
yes.
some
okay.
of the other people can chime in.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi,
who
is this?
Suzanne.
Suzanne Ross?
Yes.
Hey, girl.
So, there are a lot of issues that were raised, and... I think the issue of white skin privilege is very valid, very important to raise over and over again, and white people have to take responsibility for looking
let me clap.
At the benefits that accrue to us,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a white person calling.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing that I think you, I don't know which of you, because I don't exactly remember which of the two people is speaking.
No, that whole crew is gone.
Okay, so... The issue of confusing or identifying Jews with Israel,
mm-hmm.
I think is incorrect.
Yeah.
And that, to the extent you were doing that, I completely disagree with it, and I'll tell you why. Okay, and I know you believe in non-interrupting.
But he didn't do that.
No, yes, he did. He referred it several times
no,
to
let,
Jews.
No, let us finish,
let
and I'm going
to... He referred several times to Jews in relation to Israel. When talking about Israel, was referring to Jews had it this way.
Mm.
Jews had it this way. And because I was listening very carefully, and that's the part that I think is dangerous. Because if you look around, for example, at the Palestine Solidarity Committee in the United States, historically and pretty consistently over the last 20 years, it's been a majority Jewish group.
Mm-hmm.
The activists who are in the Solidarity Movement for Palestine
right. are Jewish.
Have been Jewish.
Right.
There are many, many Jews who object to Zionism.
Sure.
Who are not, I'm Jewish,
mm-hmm.
I'm anti-Zionist, and have
mm-hmm.
been for years, and support Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
So when anybody says anything, there are two issues that I think that I react to as a Jewish person. One is if people single out Jews as compared to white people,
mm-hmm.
sometimes unfairly and sometimes really exaggerating the role of Jews versus the role of other white people. Again, historically, even though Jews have moved to the right, still have been probably the most progressive white group in the United States.
Not all Jewish people
let
are
me,
white
let
anyway.
Let me jump in here because
and
you raise a very strong point. And that was actually the point I was about to raise. I was about to say, identify what you mean when you say Jews, because I think the ambiguity of that, some of it is intentional, and on the other hand, I think it gives some people an identity to belong to the, I say in quotations, club, right? Because I tell you, I used to work in an adult medical daycare, and I had this really nice-sized group of Russian Jews, some German Jews, a bunch of different Jewish people, right? And one of the things that I found very interesting, and I found this in every community, black community, white community, people who identify with the suffrage wear it like a badge of honor and have really no relationship with it, right? So what they do is they come out into society with this shield on. Like, for instance, I know black people who will come out and talk about, yeah, man, they had us on the plantation, and we were slaves, and they're angry, and they're confronting the system. But when you follow that person around, they are the antithesis. They are totally opposite of anybody who has any kind of consciousness, and their day-to-day life denotes that. It's only when they think that there's something to gain that they manipulate and abuse that posture of suffrage, right?
And that's sheer opportunism.
Exactly. Now, I've seen that in the black community. I've seen it in the Jewish community. I've seen it in, and another thing, I keep saying Jewish, but are we talking about race or ethnicity? Are we talking about religious postures, etc.? And when I said to this guy about my reality that I have to deal with every day, from my reality, there is no distinction. And I think that line was blurred intentionally. When I hear, and you made the distinction about Zionism and the people
Zionists
who called,
versus
the people who call themselves Jews, would you differentiate something for me? Would you differentiate between the ethnicity, the religious tradition,
yes,
and the
yes,
practitioner,
yes,
and the national identity?
I'll tell you. I think there are two aspects to Jewish identity, and it's a complicated situation because compared to other, you know, Jews are a combination of an ethnic group that's, you know, seen as a nation historically, even though it was a nation that had no land.
It depends on which group you're
right.
And then
I'm,
there's Jews
there are,
who identify primarily.
Well, actually, I'm referring to, like, Ethiopian Jews.
Okay, so that's...
Apparently, they're not associated sometimes.
No, Ethiopian Jews are definitely Jews and have identified...
No, I know that they are, but I mean they're not included in the suffrage.
They're not
that,
included by racist Zionists.
Yes.
But, of course, I consider Ethiopian Jews. I think
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, but I'm saying that they're... And in their case, in the case of Ethiopian Jews, it's a very religious identification.
Exactly.
They've been observant religious
exactly.
Jews, and that Israel doesn't recognize them as Jews.
Exactly.
And made it possible, encouraged them under false pretenses to come to Israel, and then treated them with such racism.
Right.
It was disgusting. Disgusting.
And his story.
But you asked me a question,
yes,
so let me
yes.
finish. When you're talking about Jews, there are two ways to identify Jews, and people identify differently. So it's complicated. There are a lot of Jews who identify religiously, and there are a lot of Jews who identify just ethnically, and there are Jews who identify both. And there are people who will tell you they're secular Jews. And so the Jewish identity is a very complicated one. And over the years, I've come to accept the different definitions.
But let me jump in here now, because what they may use as their tools of identification is one thing. However, the international standard of recognition of nationalities, right? The question is, if I go someplace and I say I'm Jewish, right? Is that consistent with the identification of a nationality? Now, that's a very cut and dry question.
I think it is.
And
think Jews are a nation.
But
if you look at Jews over
here's
thousands
the problem.
Of years,
but a nation based on what?
Here's the
a
problem.
Nation based on language.
Here's the problem. Let me articulate the problem. The problem is, if you talk to me and ask me what is my citizenship status, I can tell you I'm an American citizen, right?
Yeah, but a lot of black people say I'm African or African-American.
Yes, they do.
People do not accept
me I'm actually one of those people.
Yeah.
And that's a political stance.
And I have the same, I don't accept myself as
American. I don't
think
you were finished, though.
Right. No, I wasn't finished.
Sorry. Go ahead.
We got gatekeepers on this line.
Okay.
But that's exactly the point that I'm alluding to, because when a black person does that, they are instantly disqualified, and it's explained why that doesn't qualify, right? But when a Jewish person says, I'm Jewish, I'm still trying to figure out, all right, how are you Jewish? Is that your religion, and why are you using your religion as a nationality identifier?
Okay. So now, first of all, I would certainly accept any definition by anybody of African origin, however they define themselves. And certainly, lots of people define themselves as African. That's perfectly acceptable, living in the United States, whether they have U.S. citizenship or not. You can't disqualify Jewish identity, though, which has been nurtured and survived thousands of years without a land.
But it is done to other people.
But see what
but
I think?
But that's
it is
wrong.
Done to
but,
some
but that's absolutely wrong.
Right.
I would not. So I'm saying.
I mean, you're saying you can't.
As
it
a
is
progressive,
done.
But as a progressive person, we don't want to repeat those errors. So just as I don't want to repeat the error of white people historically and not recognizing people of color's identity, regardless of how they identify them.
I mean, there are people, well, there are people like myself, who observe the High Holy Days. People would say that it's Jewish, but they're High Holy Days. I mean, you know, like Yom Kippur, Pesach,
yeah.
Right.
You know, they're High Holy Days.
Or Holy Days, which gave birth to the term holiday.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. But you know what?
Joyce, what is that?
What I'm saying, you know, I mean, but would that make me Jewish?
I think if you define yourself as Jewish by by participating in High Holy Days,
right.
And see other aspects of Judaism that you consider part of your ethnic identity, mm-hmm. I accept it.
But see, I don't think of that as necessarily being Jewish because well, this is also getting into some sort of spiritual.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Which causes controversy.
I think that one of the things we have to move away from is, and this is going to sound kind of callous, but we have to get away from the what I think.
Label?
Because, no. When an individual says, I think, now I'm famous for saying, well, I don't really want to know what you think. Mm-hmm. I want to know what the actual measure is and how you shape up next to that.
I think the measure is, well, first of all, my own background is deeply Jewish, in the sense of...
Well, deeply Jewish as opposed to what?
In the sense that I was born in Nazi Europe. I speak Hebrew and Yiddish. I was raised in Orthodox schools and, you know, all this stuff. So I was raised that way. So
Ashkenazi.
But it's years and years of my background. It's my roots. It's my cultural roots. Saying people come, though, with different
roots. Me invoke my status as the host and ask. Now, is there anybody on this line right now that has not had a chance to chime in?
Yes, I have. Oh,
pardon.
Oh, wow. Let's hear.
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
This is Neil. Good morning, Joyce. And good morning, the other speaker. I didn't get your name.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning, Chaparro.
Good morning.
What's your name?
Neil.
Oh, Neil. Hi.
I wanted to bring the conversation a little back to where it was, because I hear it all the time that the station is anti-Semitic, and I want to ask those that say these things or this statement, the station is a forum for anti-Semitic statements. When you pin these people down to what it is that was said anti-Semitic, they run away like flies, or they run away and they are not able to express what was anti-Semitic, but they get offended. For instance, when the statement was made about Israel being a spoiled brat, this is nothing but the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Israel is allowed to do what no other nation is allowed to do. They're allowed to break United Nations sanctions. When a sanction was on South Africa, Israel was allowed to break it. There are things that Israel is doing right now that no other nation is allowed to get away with, and nobody's saying anything. When Israeli soldiers was breaking the bones of Palestinian children, and this was said on this station, WBAI, people complained.
Let me ask you another question. What about here? Is there, I know that there's a perception of people in the Jewish community actually getting preferential treatment. I know there's a perception, but is that a reality, and is there any basis of fact for this idea that there's a spoiled brat set here?
Are you talking about society or BAI?
No. In this society.
Okay, I think Neil was focusing on was the concept of anti-Semitic, the word.
Right.
And how it's not used properly.
Well, not only that, but the reason I raised that issue is because I think that whenever this conversation comes up, there are some traditional postures that occur, mm-hmm. and there are also a multiplicity of layers that people kind of
jump over, and they don't really go intricately and say, okay, let's roll this out and take it step by step, and let's take point by point and look at this. They don't really do that. Usually what happens, it's like getting into conversations, black and white people getting into conversations about slavery. After about 15 minutes, voices raise, people start huffing, and it usually doesn't end up in a positive discourse. Either people are feeling very hurt and they walk away, or people are feeling very angry and they walk away, but it doesn't usually end with some kind of concise understanding on both sides of the fence.
Well, nobody's running away in this particular grouping at this moment.
Right.
I want to ask Neil a question for a second. I thought what I heard, I'm quite sure that what I heard was not that Israel was spoiled brat nation, which I would completely agree with. I think the Israel has been a weird protectorate of the United States, which can get away with murder, literally murder and anything internationally in a way that is quite unique, mm-hmm. quite unique. So I don't have any problem with that, but I thought, what is your name, the host?
Kamau.
I think Kamau was saying earlier.
I said Kamau.
Kamau, I think, said earlier that Jews were spoiled brats.
That, right. That,
and if
we
listen to the tape, which we're
not.
Right.
I don't accept that.
Hence my question to Neil. Was there, I said I knew there was a perception of that here, but was there in fact a reality? And I was asking his opinion if there was a reality of differential treatment, etc. Et
yes.
Yes.
I was asking Neil that.
Yes, and you were trying to state the reality that concerning the amount of money that United States gives to the country of Israel, I think
right.
you were trying to state it compared to what it gives Africa.
Right, and I was
and
also
these,
right.
And all these things is what when you were trying to lay out your argument why the Jews, the Jewish state is a renegade or spoiled brat state, and
but
your argument were credible.
Let me just come out. Yes.
What I was trying to address is that when it's a constant thing, whenever people lay out their arguments, why the Israel state is allowed to run rampant to do things, people say this is anti-Semitic. Whenever people bring up incidences where the Israeli soldiers do certain things which is ungodly, which is immoral, like breaking the bones, and I'm just sticking on certain things.
Right.
Nobody would, the people who call in and say this is, I mean, they can't say, hey, what you say about the Israeli soldiers, what they did, is not true.
But they
spread a big blanket over the whole thing and say it is anti-Semitic in order not to deal with the issue that you're bringing up.
Can we add something to this? Because the other thing I said was, when she talked about separating Jews, hello?
Who is she, meaning me?
Yes,
Suzanne.
Yes,
okay.
Suzanne. When Suzanne said this thing about being specific, the difference between Jews and the Zionists, I said I think that line in many cases is intentionally blurred, right? And for a couple of reasons. Some people find this wonderful power and being associated with the power group. And what I was bringing up when I mentioned that I used to work in this adult medical daycare was the fact that there were many people in there who had no understanding of certain history of this, that, and the other thing, but there was like a leader in the group, and when that leader snapped their fingers or clicked, everybody came running, and half the time they had no idea what was going on. But it was like they had been conditioned to respond to the battle cry, right? And so that, to me, was one of the reasons that people took on this identity, this badge of honor that I'm Jewish. But I also articulated that there were people in the black community who used slavery as a point of suffrage to kind of develop this victim status when they did not deserve to take that posture based on their everyday living.
I don't think that any African, black person, what have you, can as much punch if they said that they were Jew as a person who would say that they're Jewish. People would back off.
I agree completely. I agree with the concept that you're raising, because we both know that, and I said this at the beginning, that the unofficial posture of this country is kill the black man. The unofficial posture is we don't like y'all, we don't want y'all around. Mm-hmm. So when somebody uses that argument, it has minimal effect versus their counterpart in other communities.
But I want to just say something, that I was at, and I don't know, Joyce, if anybody, or if you, Joyce, or anybody else on the phone was at the Israel Day parade. I think it was in May or June, whenever it's held. I think it's June. And hundreds and hundreds of Jews were on the sideline screaming at the marchers, assassins, murderers, tell your children the truth. So when you speak about Jews always, kind of flocking together or agreeing, that's not my.
I don't think anybody said that.
Well, no, I'm not saying he used that word.
No, you said when you
described it.
But
talking about
the phrases I was saying. They created that perception.
That's not my experience. I've been an experience. My greatest struggles have been with other Jewish people.
But is your experience the common experience?
There are lots of anti-Zionist Jews.
Don't skate the question.
I wouldn't say we're a majority, but I think we're a significant minority.
Now, I think there are a lot of people,
I know a lot of Jewish people have gone to Palestine.
Right, but
in the last year, let me finish this.
Risking
their lives in solidarity with the Palestinians.
But there's the crux of the point. You see, from your perspective and in your reality, and a noble posture it is, however, if you take that and weigh it against what becomes the norm, from my side of the fence, it's a totally different picture. And obviously you can argue that point, but what my point is, if we have this dialogue and we all come into the center and we listen, both sides listen, then I say that there's more of a chance that you would have to revamp your perspective than I would.
What do you mean?
Meaning that as I articulate this and you disagree with my posture, if we had a lengthy, say, over a week or so dialogue about this, I'm saying that at the end of that week, it would be more likely that you would have to be the one who maybe had to see it from a different perspective.
Actually, I would think that both of you would, because there are certain
who's that in the background?
This is Neil.
Yes.
I think that Susan will have to really reevaluate her point of view more than Gamal.
Mm-hmm.
In what way? Tell me in what way. What would I have to change?
Here's the point. Neil, you want to handle that or you want me to answer it?
No, let Neil.
Maybe you may do a better job. Go ahead.
Well, here's the point. You see, my reality, based on what I see as I move through life every day, may be more accurate than yours, because when our two viewpoints come together, this is the reason I asked, was your posture the common posture, right? And if it was not, let's say we brought 500 people apiece in the room, and each one of those 500 people had a vote on whether or not what I was saying was accurate or what you were saying was accurate. I'm saying at the end of there that there would be more people who understood what I was saying to be the reality versus what you're saying, and that would have to force you to say, now, wait a minute, am I out of touch, or let me look at this from another angle.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's not as though what Susanna is saying is inaccurate. It's just that it's
right,
part of a picture.
Exactly.
Well, I'm saying, I would never try to portray the majority of Jews in this country as progressive. I don't think that. So that's not what nor would I say that the majority of Jews in this country are anti-Zionist.
But now I have to interrupt you, crew, because we got to let some of these other people in here.
Can I just say something right quick?
Yes. Somebody wanted to say something right quick.
Just that. All I'm saying is, as progressive people, we have to keep these lines clear and keep a line that's politically accurate, not so much, and not use language that blurs certain realities. I'm not saying you're wrong in terms of your perception of the majority,
but
it is important to distinguish
between... Wait, let that gentleman say something, because he hasn't spoken yet.
Yeah, hi, Joyce. This is James.
Oh, hey, yes, James.
Hi, Carl.
Yes,
Susan, this is something that...
That's Suzanne.
Something on the matter of white skin privilege that you have to understand, Susan. Do you identify as white?
But she agreed with that point.
It's a general principle I just want to introduce here.
I definitely agree that white skin privilege is a very, very real and important force
Well,
in all white people's lives.
Well, here's the point that I just want to introduce, is that I see in this country that whites feel that based on their discomfort with something, that they can shut it down. Mm-hmm. And it's important, and whether they're progressive or whether they identify as progressive or not.
You got a point there.
So it's important for you to when you hear something that makes you uncomfortable, people of color in this society have to sit with all sorts of stuff that makes them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And they have to evaluate it from all perspectives. But whites have many means to shut things down.
I'm not trying to shut it down.
No one said that you were.
No, I wouldn't. I would be absolutely against anything
but
that says
I have to shut it down for 1 second because we're at the top of the hour and I have to take a quick break. Okay. Everybody just stay with